In a highly unusual news conference this morning, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson sought to dismiss a report by NBC News that Vice President Mike Pence had to talk him out of resigning. Tillerson insisted he's never even considered leaving his post, but he would not deny part of the reporting, which said that he'd called President Trump a moron in a meeting at the Pentagon.
I'm not going to deal with petty stuff like that. I mean, this is what I don't understand about Washington. Again, you know, I'm not from this place. But the places I come from, we don't deal with that kind of petty nonsense.
Also today, the president and first lady traveled to Las Vegas to visit with victims and first responders after Sunday night's mass shooting. Trump is getting some criticism for his visit yesterday to Puerto Rico, with some moments of perhaps disconnect. It's Wednesday, so let's bring in our political analyst, Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Paris Denard, a Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello.
And let's start with listening to a little of Secretary of State Tillerson today, because people might not have heard it. This was kind of a pop-up, unexpected appearance. Let's listen.
The Vice President has never had to persuade me to remain as Secretary of State because I have never considered leaving this post. I value the friendship and the counsel of the Vice President, and I admire his leadership within President Trump's administration to address the many important agendas of President Trump, both from a foreign policy perspective.
So this came as such a surprise that some of us thought, you know, with such a major coming out and all the television cameras on him, that he was resigning. But no, he came out to say he wasn't. NBC reported that he was, and that the threat to resign came after President Trump's response to Charlottesville and Trump's politicized speech to the Boy Scouts. This all seems like ancient history. But Angela, what do you make of this?
Not much. I think it's it just shows the chaos that exists in this administration. The fact that there are such serious events going on, and this is a thing, just demonstrates, you know, the fact that they have challenges focusing on what really matters. There are critical policy priorities that this nation should be focusing on. And I think that this example, as well as what the House thought they should be legislating on yesterday, which is an abortion ban, right after now 59 people were killed and more than 500 people were injured, we should be talking about gun control. So whether Rex Tillerson called him a moron, which, you know, reasonable minds can disagree, or not, or whether or not he considered resigning is neither here nor there. And I think, unfortunately, and hopefully Paris agrees with me, that this is a distraction that we just don't need right now.
Well, but Paris, I must say, if it hadn't been for all the news over the last week or so, we probably would be asking you about what President Trump did to Rex Tillerson on Twitter when he came out and said, you know, I told Rex Tillerson, our great Secretary of State, that I wouldn't be talking to Little Rocket Man, his nickname for the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. What was that about? Do you have a problem with President Trump stepping on the Secretary of State like that, who's trying to avoid a nuclear crisis?
You know, I think the president is entitled to do what he wants to do on his Twitter account, and it's his personal opinion and it's his thoughts that he shares with the American people and the millions that follow him. But I think Angela does have a point. Not so much the point is to look at why we focus on what we focus on. It's because a recent Pew Research Center Journalism Project study that just came out said nearly three quarters of all the stories that coming out, regardless of positive or negative, were focused on President Trump's leadership and his character, and they would use the word style, while only one quarter focused on his policies. And so we have a tendency to have coverage of President Trump has been negative, and I think this is part and parcel of what you saw today about Secretary Tillerson. Out of all the things that are going on, NBC decides to run the story on it, but it goes back. There has been a constant drumbeat about, is Rex Tillerson going to be replaced by Nikki Haley, and all these things, rather than focusing on what Tillerson has said, what Nikki Haley is doing, and what the president's agenda is across the globe.
Well, it's because go ahead, Angela.
I was going to say, friendly amendment, that actually was not my point at all. I think that Donald Trump creates the news himself. You know, unfortunately, and Paris, I think you and I are learning this more and more every day as your platform grows. And I can't even imagine what it's like being commander in chief, but you have a certain responsibility with your words. So whether you're throwing paper towels at citizens of Puerto Rico who just suffered a very deadly hurricane, or you are tweeting, calling another another leader, a little rocket man, to Jeremy's point, that creates news. And so if you don't want news to be negative, perhaps you think about the way in which you carry yourself and the way in which it impacts the American people as a leader.
And Paris, I want to ask you about that. That was going to be, you know, my question, because this is a president who says things that are very provocative. His supporters love it, but you got to cover it. Let's talk about Puerto Rico. It was his fourth visit to a disaster zone in 2 months. But he said this about hurricane recovery in Puerto Rico.
Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. If you look at the every death is a horror. But if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina,
Paris, you know, there's been some criticism here that, of course, in Puerto Rico, yes, they didn't have as many deaths, but they consider themselves in catastrophe. And then the president was throwing rolls of paper towels out to people. And, you know, you've heard Puerto Ricans saying, we're not animals in a zoo. Don't throw paper towels at us. Was that perhaps not his best moment? Paris? Oh, have we lost Paris?
Well, let me answer for Paris.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe he's in deep thought about this.
We can
say that there are not too many great moments that this president has, and that certainly was one where it looked like he was so disconnected from the reality of the situation. One, the fact that the supply that he chose to throw were paper towels when they are literally waist deep in water,
or have no drinking water.
It was crazy to see that. It was unbelievable. And then to have him say something like a real catastrophe. I think, you know, that we can argue about what a catastrophe really means. But the fact that people still haven't talked to their loved ones, people who are on the mainland here, the fact that people have lost their homes, the fact that the mayor lost her home and the way in which he attacked the mayor, all of it's catastrophic. And he's just not managed this well at all.
I think we've
it doesn't have to be not his best moment. It's absolutely one of his very worst.
I think we've got Paris back. So Paris, we were asking about your thoughts on how President Trump handled himself in Puerto Rico, throwing paper towels out to people.
Yeah, I tweeted about that. Look, go to cspan.org and you can see the full segment of what happened there. That was blown totally out of proportion. The president was actually handing out things, tossed some things out to the crowd. A gentleman asked him to actually pass things out. So, look, we can, again, talk about his style, talk about the way he says things. But I think at the end of the day, we can look at what the federal government response has been to Puerto Rico. We can look at what the governor has said about the response. We can look at the governor of both Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, and the mayor of Puerto Rico has long been a critic of this president. That's not going to change. The unfortunate thing is that we're politicizing this issue and not looking at the facts of what is actually happening on the ground with regards to the federal government's response across the board, not just in Puerto Rico, but also in Houston and Florida.
Well, and we have to ask about Las Vegas and what's happened there and the conversation that has started in Washington yet again about whether there will be new measures on gun control. It didn't happen after Newtown. It didn't happen after Orlando or so many of the other terrible shootings. Angela, as a Democratic strategist, do you think that this time something will happen?
I don't. And it's so sad for me. Forget about the Democratic strategist piece for a moment. And just from a human standpoint, it's devastating to me that we can't seem to move the needle on policy. And most of it has to do with the fact that too many of our members of Congress are in the back pocket of the NRA. And this is the reason why people say that money needs to get out of politics. If we literally cannot correctly judge a situation to say, I'm going to choose life and the ability for American citizens to survive over this PAC check, that is a really bad place to be.
Well,
that is exactly the issue. That's why we can't get background checks passed. And again, that's why I said that's why they were legislating on an abortion ban yesterday instead of dealing with gun control,
Paris,
which is the real issue.
Paris, I want to ask you about that, but I want to add a layer, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Did the response of the president, again, tone, as you know, in a leader counts. Thomas Friedman writes today, if only the shooter had been a Muslim, our leaders would be talking about Muslim bans, calling for commissions. But this, the shooter, was so far, as we know, a a white wealthy man, and no one thinks of taking on the NRA, which has blocked simple legislation like a ban on the kits that convert a semi-automatic to an automatic. I mean, even some people who want fewer guns are not sure that gun legislation will get to that. But just this idea that the president responds one way to one shooter and another way to another.
I thought the president's response was appropriate when the way he responded about this. And I think it's also appropriate that as we speak right now, the president is in Las Vegas to be with these first responders who did an amazing job, and the families who have been affected by this, and by some of the people that are in the hospital right now, like my friend from Pepperdine, Jenna Rushton, who was shot in the back, but thanks to God she's living. Right now is not the time to have a conversation about gun control. There are a lot of things that we do not know, and there's no proof that any extra law would have done anything to prevent this massacre. But what we do know is that those first responders did an amazing job, and it was a miraculous event that occurred for them to protect them. So right now, to have a conversation about gun control is just political. It's politics, and it's the wrong conversation to have.
I have to respond to that.
Real quick, Angela.
I will. The point that I want to raise is if we continue to divorce policy from our everyday lives, that is indeed the problem. This isn't politics. We elect people to legislate to ensure our safety and our freedom in this country.
Some
That's
are
what
saying,
it's about.
If not now, when? Angela Rye,
exactly.
Democratic strategist. Paris Denard, a Republican strategist. Thank you, as usual.
Thank you.
It's here and now.